And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre. Well, the Massachusetts Climate Action Network has recently issued an important report on the municipal light plants here in Massachusetts. So that's all a mouthful. A municipal light plant is a local utility in a town in the state of Massachusetts. As it happens, over the course of time, they have escaped a lot of scrutiny when it comes to climate change and how green, how these municipal light plants are preparing to face the challenge of climate change. The Massachusetts Climate Action Network has issued a report. It's called the MLP Scorecard. And it's on the website. We'll tell you how to find it at the Massachusetts Climate Action Network website. But basically, the report is a detailed assessment of the progress that these MLPs have made in addressing the climate crisis and in transitioning to a clean energy economy. So the folks at MCAN, of course, spoiler alert, we're going to talk to one of them in a few minutes here, but the people at MCAN put together a report after basically collecting important data, checking out the fact that the data was valid with the MLPs. They thought long and hard about what the data meant and how they ought to be interpreting the data. And they put up a report with a lot of conclusions and some recommendations. So what I'm suggesting is that people can go back, listen to our recent podcast on the scorecard report itself, how it was made, why it was made. At the same time, they can download the report, a PDF of the report from the Massachusetts Climate Action, massclimateaction.org website. But today, what we want to do is talk about some concrete recommendations, things going forward that the municipal light plants can do here in the state of Massachusetts. And to that end, we are thrilled to have with us Mr. Logan Malik, who is the Clean Energy Director at the Massachusetts Climate Action Network and one of the key authors of this report. How are you doing, Logan?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on, Ted.
Good. So I just told a little story. Did I get it more or less correct in terms of the scorecard? Why'd you do it?
Yes. Yeah. I think you did a good summary. It's not always easy when talking about these topics and municipal light plants, but you did a great job.
Okay. So as part of this report, there are a set of recommendations, things that the municipal light plants can do. And the reason these are important is because the municipal light plants tend to be much more democratic than the utilities. They respond to people in the grassroots efforts and people in the different towns. And it's a great way to begin to move the whole energy grid towards greener stuff. Anyway, you made recommendations. Why did you do that within this report? What was the intention for adding recommendations? How should people deal with them?
Yeah. So, you know, while the scores in this municipal light plant scorecard, it is a scorecard after all, they are important and they're helpful. They only get you so far. You know, really what they get you is a snapshot of the progress that municipal light plants have made up to a certain point relative to each other. And so while that is very helpful, it only gets you so far. And so what we wanted to do and what we did end up doing with this scorecard is saying, how can we go further? How can we build on this work and the progress that has already been made and really be, you know, use this scorecard as an opportunity to put forward some productive ideas and recommendations for how municipal light plants and other relevant actors can move forward. And, you know, it is really important, you know, the way that we organize this is we broke it up between the four performance categories that we measured energy transition, energy efficiency, transparency and community engagement, and the final one, municipal light plant policy context. And kind of, you know, based on each of these performance categories, here's a list of how MLPs can improve their score and, you know, improve their efforts in each of these areas. And it's also really important, you know, in these recommendations, we did not want to just limit these recommendations to municipal light plant staff. There are a pretty big number of actors that can affect and build upon the progress that has already been made. And so, you know, we wanted to make it really clear that this is about our MLP advocates, MLP staff, yes, the light boards, but also municipal government, also the MLP associations, MWIC and ENE, legislators, the state's Department of Energy Resources. You know, this extends to a number of different actors. And so that's kind of what we tried to put forward is a list of suggestions of ways that we could continue to make progress in combating the climate crisis.
I think it's an interesting and important point that while the scorecard report assigns scores, it's not in some way to be judgmental or to suggest that this is a final report, right? This is not the end of the semester grade, right? This is an ongoing effort, and you recognize, you know, how you can improve relative and everyone in the pack can also improve. And that's what the recommendations will help people to do, right? Interesting.
Yeah.
And I think it's also a very important point that you make that, I mean, the state's involved, the towns are involved, the citizens, there's a broad range of people that can participate in these recommendations. So it's not just some narrow slice of the world that you're talking to.
Yeah.
So tell me, so you broke down these recommendations. You talked about four different kinds of areas, right? That and I think you've listed them off, but let's begin. We'll go take them one by one. The first one talks about an energy transition, right? So tell me, in terms of the energy transition, which is almost a buzzword now, but it's like going from wherever you are with fossil fuels to a 100% clean and green system, right? That energy transition, what recommendations did you make for the MLPs to think about there?
Yeah. So this was our biggest performance category. It was worth 50 points out of the 100 points of the scorecard. And so there are a wide number of recommendations that we made. I think one that I'd like to highlight is we really encouraged municipal light plants to incorporate Class 1 renewable energy credit retirement, REC retirement, into both their long and short-term strategies. And this is really important because a renewable energy credit is essentially how we track clean energy in our grid mix. And so it can be decoupled from the actual electrons that are flowing to homes. The RECs can be decoupled. But what really matters when we're thinking about it and when we're thinking about tracking, you know, utility progress in clean energy is that they are retiring the renewable energy credits. And we talked about this a little bit in the last podcast, so I won't get too far into it. But we list a number of ways that they can do that. And, you know, having a plan is so critical in this because renewable energy credits, they cost money. You know, people want to buy them. Investor-owned utilities are required to purchase them. And so we need, you know, MLPs need a plan. They need a strategy to incorporate this into their long-term and their short-term.
So my lightning's going off, fireworks are going off in my head. Let's back up. Renewable energy certificate, renewable energy credit. That's what the REC, it's an acronym, REC. In some sense, an REC, a renewable energy certificate, is a piece of paper or a metaphorical piece of paper that says somebody somewhere made electricity, they made it in a green fashion, right? And the REC captures all that good green fashion, that good greenness of the production method. But then there's this market in which you can buy and sell the pieces of paper that represent the good greenness of your 1 megawatt of power, right? So what you're saying is that the strategy is for the MLPs to have a plan to buy that paper, buy that renewable energy credit, which then makes their power green, and retire it. That is to say, put it in a file cabinet and forget it and never sell it to anyone else, right? That's the central idea.
Yeah, it is. And just to kind of explain a little bit, as far as it's not only that they would be buying the renewable energy credits, rather it would also be that they're just not selling the energy credits. So municipal light plants, you know, one of the things that I think they do a very good job with is contracting for and building clean energy projects. But once this clean energy project comes online, what they do, and as you said, a renewable energy credit is generated when 1 megawatt or megawatt hour of clean energy is produced. And so what they typically do not do is when that's generated and a REC is created, they don't retire it. Instead, they go out and they sell it to someone else, to an investor-owned utility who has to, you know, have a certain percent of their energy mix be clean energy. And so what we're seeing in municipal light plants is they sell that. Well, the result of selling that credit is they can no longer take credit for the clean energy characteristic of the electron that they just used. Right. And so it is you know, some can say, well, it's just an accounting issue, but it is an important accounting issue, because if they are not retiring their renewable energy credits, that means that 14% of Massachusetts' total electric sector is not transitioning at a rate that aligns with the rest of the state.
And Logan, forgive me for beating this, but I mean, let me just go back and simplify, I think, even one more time. If an MLP puts up a wind turbine on their own property, they own the wind turbine, and then they run that wind turbine for an hour and make a megawatt of power, they now have created, they own this renewable energy credit, the REC, right? They need to take that REC and put it in never sell it to anyone, right? And that makes the power that was generated by the wind turbine ostensibly clean. And if they sell that renewable energy credit to somebody else, then they could have had a coal power plant in their town instead of a wind turbine, right? As far as greenness goes, right? It doesn't matter because they sold the credit to someone else.
From an accounting perspective, yes. Mm-hmm. From an on-the-ground perspective, yeah, of course. You know, a green project is going to be less harmful, but the point is well taken, and that is correct. And the reason why this is so important is, you know, it might not apply to municipal light plants, but this is the only way, this REC retirement process is the only way that we can track and do track clean energy in the rest of our system. And right. So, you know, what we're asking and what we're recommending is that MLPs do the same, and that they really acknowledge that when they retire the REC, that's really when they can account for the clean energy environmentally, you know, environmental characteristic of that electron.
Interesting. Make a plan to retire. Go ahead.
Exactly. And you know, we did. So that was one piece of the recommendations. And there are a number of different ways that they can do this, that they can work to accelerate this. Some other recommendations that we had is, you know, we want them to strengthen and to continue to enhance policies that enable their residents to transition to clean energy. That means strengthening net metering policies, you know, leveraging innovative technology like battery storage, advanced metering infrastructure, electric vehicles, you know, work to make it possible for their residents to adopt this technology. And I will just say, they're doing a good job and they're providing a number of programs that help with this, but there are several opportunities to strengthen those programs. And that's really what we do encourage. And then the final,
go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, just to again, translate that, it says the municipal light plant territory should be encouraging people, for example, among many other things, of putting solar panels on their roof, right? That should be a good thing inside the MLP, right? And that's, they need to have policies to help people do that. They're already doing it to some extent, but they could always do better. Okay.
Exactly. And one specific area, you know, that we're really encouraging MLPs to think critically about is, you know, of the programs that are available, who among your customers are using those programs? And, you know, is it the higher income folks who have their own home? Or is it everyone, the low income, the moderate income, renters. Yeah. Exactly. And so we are really encouraging them to think about that and to strengthen and expand those programs to ensure that low and moderate income residents can participate at an equal proportion. Interesting. Yeah. The one final recommendation, and I encourage folks to go to the website and you can look at all the details. One thing that we did encourage in this category is that municipal light plants should stop investing in new fossil fuel infrastructure and in dirty energy projects. And I will just say one of the great things about municipal light plants is that they can invest in energy projects. That is not something that an investor-owned utility can do. They cannot own energy projects.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah, like Eversource can't own an energy project because that's what the law says, but an MLP can.
Exactly. Yep. And there's a long history of energy policy that, you know, that ended up resulting in that. The goal was to make sure that, you know, to protect residents and make sure that energy costs were kept low and stable. But, you know, so MLPs do have this ability. And you know, with that additional, you know, ability and flexibility comes additional responsibility. And, you know, at this point in 2021, the last thing we need is new investments and new projects in coal, oil, and natural gas. You know, we don't need new projects in dirty biomass energy. And we don't need any projects that exacerbate environmental injustice. And so, you know, MLPs have a responsibility to look very critically, not just at the economics behind a project, but also at the impact that it will have on the climate and on the people who will ultimately have to deal with that project in their community.
Fascinating. Wow. That's a lot. So basically what you're saying is that those kinds of characteristics, those areas were recommendations that relate to a big chunk of the scorecard, right? Like 50% was this energy transition. And these are the kinds of things that people should be trying to do that MLPs and their friends and neighbors should be trying to do in order to. Okay. So great. So tell me, did you make any recommendations about energy efficiency? Again, energy efficiency is this whole concept of not using electricity, finding ways to do more with less. Was that an important part of your recommendation for MLPs?
It was, and that was the second largest performance category in the scorecard. It made up for 25 points out of the total 100 points available. And we, you know, similarly, we had a number of recommendations centered around energy efficiency and the programs that municipal light plants provide, again, to support their customers in increasing the energy efficiency of the whole system. And, you know, again, the list, all of these can be found on the website. You know, some of the key things that, oh, go for it.
I was just going to say, can you tell me what the website is, just because we ought to mention it several times as we go along, right?
I can, yes. So it's themassclimateaction.org, and then it's /2021 MLP 2021 _MLP mass_scorecard. And if you just go to the website, massclimateaction.org, you'll be able to get to the scorecard very easily. It's not challenging. So you don't need that whole link.
Right. But you can go there and see all this stuff as we're talking about it. We want to keep emphasizing that's a good thing to go check out. Anyway, continue.
Exactly. Exactly. So for energy efficiency, you know, one of the major things that we were pushing is that municipal light plants increase the total percentage of their overall revenue that they are spending on energy efficiency programs. You know, we noticed that relative to other utilities, municipal light plants lag behind a little bit in the amount of money that they are spending, you know, that are going directly towards their energy efficiency programs. This is for a number of reasons, some of which, and I would say a large portion of which relates to the fact that other utilities get more support from the state and from other entities for energy efficiency. The flip side of that is other utilities, investor-owned utilities, are more highly regulated. But we really want municipal light plants to increase the amount that they're spending. And we want that to go towards increasing the size of the programs that they offer. You know, weatherization and heat pump rebates, we want to see them, you know, not just that they're there, but they should be larger than they are.
So just to be specific, you're saying energy efficiency programs, that covers a lot of ground, but a specific example would be for the MLP to be providing more money basically to people in their district to buy a heat pump or to make their homes more, you know, more weather tight and use the proper kind of lighting. So that's when you say energy efficiency programs money is being channeled to people to actually change their homes, right?
Yeah, okay. Exactly. And you know, the reason why we want this to be larger is we want to encourage more people to do it. And when you have a larger incentive, it makes the economics easier for residents, for homeowners and renters. And it makes people more likely to look at this very beneficial technology like heat pumps, these very beneficial practices like weatherizing your house, which reduce the cost of your energy bill, and help to transition us to a clean and just energy future. Mm-hmm. And towards that end, the justice, you know, one of the points in the major things that we are recommending is that municipal light plants do more to increase the equity and access to their energy efficiency program. So the same thing that I mentioned before, municipal light plants and any utility for that matter should be doing everything that they can to ensure that all of their customers, be it the lower income residents, the moderate income residents, the renters, have access and can participate in these programs. And, you know, sometimes for certain communities, that means increasing the rebates for low and moderate income residents. It means doing specific and targeted outreach. It means putting all of the materials, the promotional materials, up on your website in multiple different languages. And so that's something that we really encourage. Now, it's important to note, as of now, municipal light plants are not required to do any of this. They are not legally required to do it, whereas investor-owned utilities do it because they're legally required. Right. And we are still seeing a lot of voluntary efforts, which is wonderful. But we really need to see more just increase the focus on this to ensure that there is an equitable distribution of energy efficiency program dollars and, you know, where those retrofits and various different, you know, installations are taking place.
I mean, I think that's an important theme, and it's you mentioned in a specific context, but it will come up again and again over the next decade, right? Is the money going in a fair way not just to people who can afford a Tesla, but to people who might not be, you know, that everyone gets to participate, and you need to be conscious about it. And so this is one, as I say, one aspect of a much bigger question about equity access to energy. But within the MLP context, this is something that can be done, right?
Exactly. And, you know, I think just one last thing that would kind of tie into that is, sometimes in order to make this happen, you know, that it's not just the MLP, but the state that should do more to support municipal light plants in these efforts, in ensuring equitability, you know, and in moving forward and increasing all of the services. And so that is, you know, one of the other recommendations that we make in this category, is that the state do more to support municipal light plants in energy efficiency.
Interesting. Okay. So we've got the energy transition, we've got energy efficiency. And I guess then we go to the next, I would say more human kind of, you talk about transparency for the MLP, and transparency is a very heavily used word, right? So I'm going to ask you, give me specifically what do you mean by transparency, but tell me about, you know, what recommendations do you make in terms of community engagement, transparency by the MLPs?
Yeah. So one of MCAN's, one of the major reasons why MCAN believes that the municipal utility model is the best model out there is precisely because these are democratic institutions that are not responsible to shareholders. They are responsible to the community members and the customers that they serve. That is a wonderful thing and something that frankly we should see more of across the state. Now, as part of that, because they are these local government entities, they have a responsibility to uphold that and to engage in practices where they are actively engaging with, inviting residents, customers in to the decision-making process.
Maybe you're going to say this, but I mean, at least in some of the MLP towns, the board of directors is an elected position, right? You have to, it's on the ballot and you get elected, right? So there's a responsiveness there. There are probably a bunch of different models, but at least in some cases, this is straightforward, you know, you get elected to the position, right? Okay.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, just to add off of that, I think that's an important point. There are these elected light boards that, you know, serve and govern the municipal light plant with the residents' interest in mind. What we would argue is that, yes, that is a wonderful part of, you know, piece of the puzzle, that election. But engagement and with the community does not stop once the election is over. It must continue in the regular day-to-day governance. And so, you know, really what we advocate and what we recommend is that on a broader level, municipal light plants take steps to make it easy and for their residents to get involved, to learn about the governance process of their municipal light plant, and then also to be involved in the decision-making process. You know, we want to increase the opportunities for community involvement in decision-making. And especially, you know, we want more to happen and more to be done in soliciting feedback from community members on proposed energy projects, long-term policies. These are things that you know, residents can and should have an opportunity to engage on and should really be central in the decision-making process. And
just to put a specific on that, it's my understanding that there was or is, I guess I'm not sure now, a biomass energy plant proposed for Springfield, right, which would be burning wood basically in an environmental justice community north of Springfield. And some MLPs were, I think, actually backed away from it, but could have joined that, right? And so this is the kind of specific decision that the people in the that transparency would make obvious to the people in the town, right? Do they want their electricity to come in such a circumstance? Is that fair?
Exactly. And so this is, you know, the biomass plant in Springfield, it's directly situated in an environmental justice community. The energy, you know, the project has since been stopped by state government. But the project was, you know, before it was stopped, 75% of that, the energy that would be generated from this facility was contracted for by municipal light plants. And when the residents got word of this, you know, in several of these light plants that, you know, these light plant districts that had engaged on this topic or that had signed the contract, they were really quite upset because they did not want to see their municipal light plant invest in a project that would disproportionately harm Black and brown community members in our Commonwealth. And so they, you know, tried to see what they could do. And because of the contract, there really wasn't very much that they could do to withdraw. So what we're saying, and the same situation is true in the case of the Peabody Peaker, where there's a proposed 55 megawatt oil and gas peaker power plant that is slated to be built in an environmental justice community in Peabody. It's, you know, a project that 14 municipal light plants are involved in. And there's a lot of frustration about the investment from the residents within these participating municipal light plants. And so what we're saying is, you know, this isn't good for you because there's frustration from your customers and your residents. It's not good for you know, the climate, for the environment. We should be engaging and you should be engaging with your residents before you sign that contract and really making a thorough effort to ask, is this what our community wants to do? I know the prices are good, but is this what our community wants to do? So that's, you know, that's something that we continue to advocate for and we list as a key recommendation in the scorecard.
Wow. And it's, and I guess you there would be a transparency or openness at least in telling people about this REC retirement issue that we touched on before, right? As another aspect of that transparency.
Yes, that is another part of the transparency. One of the things that we have seen, you know, it's really in order to understand and to be able to make decisions about your municipal light plant and your energy future, you need to have an accurate representation of, you know, where your municipal light plant is currently, as far as where they're getting their energy, and how that can be counted, how much of that can be counted as clean. You know, so what we really encourage and what we've been pushing for is, you know, oftentimes municipal light plants will either not post their power supply or their energy mix on their website, or will post just the power supply. And so that says very specifically, you know, where we're getting our energy from, but it doesn't account for this very important piece of REC retirement. Mm-hmm. And that can mislead residents into thinking that you know, that their municipal light plant's energy mix is, you know, is very, very green, when in reality, a lot of that energy that is being generated, and yes, it's being used by you, but someone else is taking it, is taking credit for that green attribute. Mm-hmm. And so there's a double counting that we really encourage MLPs to avoid. And we really, you know, advocate for a lot of clarity around, you know, here's our energy mix based on the renewable energy credits that we've retired. That's how it's counted in the system, and that's how they should represent it as well.
Interesting. So these are fantastic. Seem like really useful recommendations. There's a final fourth category where we talk about something you need to explain, the policy context for the municipal light plants. What do you mean by, what do you mean when you say policy context?
Yeah. So the policy context is essentially the efforts that have been taken on the part of municipal light plants and their respective local government to make environmental and clean energy efforts easier. So it's really about creating a policy context, an environment where that facilitates that transition to a clean energy future. And what that means, you know, in real time, and what we are actually looking at there is whether or not plans are in place, climate action plans, and there's a clear sense of how the town should go about transitioning to a clean energy future, whether or not these communities are participating in statewide programs that are available to them, like the Green Communities designation, which provides grants and numerous different opportunities to enhance climate action. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in this, the big focus is exactly that, is really, you know, advocating for these municipal light plants, which are, you know, they have a lot of independence. They can do things their own way. That means that they need to have a plan in place. We really advocate for these municipal light plant towns to establish climate action plans. And in many instances, again, we talk about a variety of actors. This comes down to the municipal government establishing a climate action plan, but the municipal light plant plays a key role in making sure that, you know, number one, helping to inform that climate action plan, number two, carrying out that climate action plan. And you know, the other pieces that we really push for is municipal light plant involvement in the programs that are available to them. So there is the Green Community designation, there's the Renewable Energy Trust Fund, and there's one which is new and huge, has the potential to be hugely beneficial, called the Property Assessed Clean Energy Program, or the PACE program. And this is provided by Mass Development. And this just opens up so many doors for commercial customers, as well as for large housing complex to take advantage of some financial tools to make clean energy and energy efficiency financing much easier and much more affordable.
Wow, that's a new one on me. I have to get that acronym, PACE. Say it again.
So it's the Property Assessed Clean Energy Program, PACE program. And I, you know, it's one of those things that is kind of, you know, it hasn't gained a whole lot of attention yet. We saw that there were six municipal light plants that had, you know, opted into the program, but it's one of those things where there's actually very little cost associated with it and a whole lot of benefits. And I will say the opt-in process, a whole lot of potential benefits available. The opt-in process, you know, to participate in this program does go through the municipal government, not the MLP. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, you know, I think that the MLP can certainly voice its support for this program and for moving forward and opening the doors that this program, you know, opens.
That sounds, wow, that's very interesting. So tell me, so you've got these like specific actionable, and what is it? There's some buzzword in the business community about your goals for the year, the SMART goals, right? They're specific, they're actionable, they're blah, 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 blah. But I mean, these are really good things that people, that MLPs can do, right? You put them up there. What's the next thing that MCAN, the Massachusetts Climate Action Network, what do you go now? What's the next turn of the screw?
I'm glad you asked, because there is so much happening and there are a whole lot of next steps. I have to say, I have totally been enjoying post-publishing the scorecard, all of the potential opportunities that we have. But I will just say, you know, our focus, there's kind of, I would say, maybe three things that we're working on. So the first one, which is really important, is we're really spending the time to help advocates, help relevant stakeholders to understand the implications behind this scorecard. This is, you know, we significantly expanded the report. You know, it's well over 100 pages, and there's a lot of information there. And so we want to make sure that that information is getting out, and to make sure that advocates understand the implications. And so whether that's, you know, setting up meetings in these communities, doing presentations, preparing, you know, two pagers, we have on our website an option for residents, you know, and other stakeholders to request a two pager about, you know, the actions behind their particular MLP's scores. Mm-hmm. So really helping folks understand what's in this report and how we can move forward.
That's just the granularity. That's the first one, but there's granularity that you say, to the point where, like, for a particular MLP, here are the specifics you can think of. That's great. That's great.
Right. And you know, this is an important piece for us, because we do recognize that MLPs are immensely diverse, whether you look at, their populations, the number of residential customers versus commercial customers, the size of the municipal light plant, the economic status of the residents and the customers. So having that granular component adds an additional feature to this scorecard. And to that end, you know, because of the diversity, you know, there are unique actions that can be taken, you know, in one MLP, and it might not work perfectly for another, but there are also actions that would universally benefit climate actions across municipal light plants. And so one thing that MCAN is very excited to do is to really organize and expand our advocacy base across municipal light plants. And so, you know, we're in the process of forming an advocacy group with representatives from every single one of the 40 or 41 municipal light plants, you know, that's really centered on, number one, enhancing communication and networking. Number two, and I think really importantly, working together on regional and statewide efforts. You know, despite these being unique communities, there are regional and statewide efforts that we need to be collaborating and coordinating on. And so that's what we're working on doing. And then, you know, the third piece and the third purpose of this group is also potentially looking at legislation that might benefit and support municipal light plants in transitioning to a clean energy future. And so this is a really exciting piece, bringing our advocates together around this actionable plan and these actionable recommendations that have been put forward. I will just add, the final thing that we have been so excited about is working directly with municipal light plants on things that we feel align with our mission and that align with the MLP's mission. You know, at the end of the day, of course, there's always going to be a little bit of friction when an entity is scoring you and ranking you against your peers. And we view that as valuable, but we also see an immense opportunity to collaborate with MLPs. Municipal light plants are doing great work in the area of clean energy and energy efficiency, and they might benefit to get the support and the services and the background that MCAN has. And so, you know, we've been making that available to several municipal light plants, and we've been very excited to see that there are areas that we are collaborating on, that we can work together on, again, to get us closer towards I think what everyone is, agrees, you know, it's everyone's goal of, you know, a clean and just energy future.
Wow. Well, that's it. So we've been through four areas with lots of really interesting and specific recommendations that are a lot of food for thought in there, Logan. That's what I tell you, what I will do is put up a link to the report, which is would highly recommend people go get the report, but I'm going to put you on the spot. Tell me again, how can people find the report? What's the URL?
Yeah. So it's massclimateaction.org. And if you go there, you'll just see, you'll see a little button and an option that says 2021 MLP scorecard. If you click on that, you will see, you know, a full breakdown of the report. You don't need to read through the full 100 pages in order to understand what's going on. We have an executive summary. We have an option to download the unique, you know, sections of the report. And we also have the recommendations just listed on their own. So if you're interested in just looking at those recommendations, say you know everything else, you just want to know what the recommendations are, that's available on the website as well and very easily accessible.
Super, 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 super. Well, okay, so that's up there. Go read it. As Logan says, you can pick and choose. It's a sort of a smorgasbord buffet menu thing. You can take the part of the report you want. It's all nicely done in graphics, so you can find that. If you have a question about this podcast or any of the podcasts and want to make a suggestion of what we ought to be talking about, please send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Let us know what we ought to be talking about. You're probably listening to this show on your smartphone using one of the modern podcast distribution apps. Please tell all of your friends to listen to us on their modern podcast distribution app on their smartphone. That's your Climate Action for the week. We want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. We want to close where we always close by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan. Logan, I look to you. MLPs all need a plan. A plan is a good thing. A plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon that respects environmental justice communities. So there you go. Logan, thank you so much for coming on. And it's been a fascinating discussion and excellent congratulations on all this good work.
Thank you so much. This was a blast.
Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.